my mind. At Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me, I see your wounds, your hands to feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. Your body bound and drenched in tears, they laid you down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone. Oh, praise the name of the
Oh, Lord, oh, Lord.
Jesus from the mountain, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love. Break every stronghold, shine through the shadows, burn like a fire. I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind, 'cause I know there is peace within your presence. I speak Jesus. I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy, Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name of Jesus. Your name is power, your name is healing, your name is love. Every stroke. Your name is healing. Your name is life. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like fire. The sun was darkened and the heavens thundered, and for a moment death had thought it conquered. But it wasn't over till you said it's over. Your word is greater still. The perfect sacrifice, your body broken, as you restore to us what sin had stolen. Once and for all, you tore the veil wide open. Your power is stronger still. Oh,
Your name is higher still. still knows and lives still as he is. The stones still roll. You're still high lifted up. You're still seated on the throne. The cross still stands. The blood still falls. The work is finished. And hell still knows that the grave is still. The stone is still rolled. You're still high lifted up. You're still seated on the throne. The cross still stands. The blood still flows. The work is finished. And hell still knows that the grave is still empty. The stone is still rolled. You're still. Yeah.
is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God, and all will see how great, how great are you, God. How great are you, God. Sing with me, how great are you, God, and all will see how great, how great are you, God. You are great. Oh Lord, you are great. I was born to lift your name above all names. You hear the melody of all creation. But there's a song of praise that only I can bring. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. You are the infinite God of the ages. Yet you chose to fill my brokenness. Show me your glory. Songs of thanks not even angels sing.
Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy?
There is no one, only you, Jesus.
Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy?
There is no one, only you, Jesus.
Christ be lifted up, holy, holy Lamb of God, anointed.
was and was and was and is to come, seated on the throne above. Holy, holy, righteous one, you shed your blood. You proved to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ, you lived. Is worthy. There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy? There is no one, only you, Jesus. Who else is worthy? Who else is worthy?
Us the Father's love, Jesus Christ be lifted up. Holy, holy, Lamb of God, anointed one, who was and is to come, seated on the throne above. Holy, holy, righteous one, you shed your blood, he proved to us the Father's love. Jesus Christ be lifted up, and forever you are glorified, forever you are lifted high, and forever you are risen, you are alive, you are
There we go. It's on mute. Father, we just praise your holy name. We just praise you. Every heart in here and online, we just lift you up. All praise to you, our God and King. All praise be unto our God forever and ever. Forever and ever, for eternity. Jesus, you have always been and you will always be worthy. Worthy of it all. Worthy of our entire lives. Worthy of all power and all glory, because that's who you are. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for moving in every heart this morning. We thank you for your power that brings healing, that brings transformation. All because of what you did, Jesus, on the cross. Pouring out your blood. Allowing yourself to suffer beyond what we could ever imagine. So that we could come and have new life. I was once very lost and far away. But you've brought me near to you. And you've done that for each of us. Each of us has a testimony here. Each one of us has a testimony of what God, you have done. And we're just thankful. We just come with thankful hearts. We say thank you. Thank you. If we could just close our eyes and just thank him. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. Oh, your worth is just so beyond anything on this earth. You're more costly than the finest treasures. You're more precious than anything we can imagine. So as we remember, as we take part of celebrating life, celebrating what you've done, Jesus, on the cross, that you renew us again and again. Our minds are being renewed day by day according to your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for each one here, from the young ones to the older ones. Oh, God. I just don't have the words. I just want to read a simple verse that we all know, a couple of verses, but God's just been really speaking it to me lately. In Matthew 11:28-30, he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And his blood and his body, what he did on the cross, purchased that life, that life-giving power, and that peace that surpasses all understanding. And when we walk in that peace every moment of our lives, that's that place of authority, that we can walk in the authority of Christ, because we're not moved by circumstances, we're not moved by our emotions. We're only moved by his power. We're only moved by his word. That's the place I want to be, and I believe that's all of us here. We want to be only moved by Jesus, what he says, not by what I see in front of me, not by what's around me or what this person said or that person said, but I only want to be moved by Jesus. And that's how we can walk in great peace and great authority in Christ, and we can see miracles flow and flourish, and we can see the gospel move forward. Because people in this world see something different in each one of you and myself. They want what we have. They want who we have. And I believe there's going to be a greater outpouring of the gospel in these last days. You know, there's crazy times that we're living in, but Jesus says, do not fear. Do not worry. I have great things in store. I have great things in store. We just want to tap into that. We want to step into that more and more, that's what he paid for. That was what he purchased, that we could live a life totally obedient to him, totally in love with him, that nothing else matters, that only he matters, that he will give the wisdom in any circumstance that we're seeking, no matter what situation comes, that he will help us navigate whatever it is. So I just encourage you to grab the elements before you. It should be under your chairs. And if any of us have burdens that we need to lay before him this morning, I encourage you to do that, because he's here. His presence is here. His presence is here as we've been worshiping, as Darlene was leading us this morning. All praise. All praise. Yes, Lord. So once again, Holy Spirit, have your way in us. Lord, we say, have free reign. Lead us, guide us into your perfect will. There's no confusion in your presence. When you say you will find rest for your souls, you mean it. You mean it. There's a rest in our hearts. There's a rest that he has, that we could be at peace and know that God's got this. He's got this. Whatever you're facing, he's got this. He's a big God. He's powerful. He's saying, will you give me an opportunity to move in your life? Let's give God more and more opportunities to move and to do the impossible, because that's what he specializes in. That's what he does. He loves it. So God, we thank you for your body and your blood. We thank you, Jesus, for your intimate love on the inside, that was only you did that. Only you could make that possible. So we bless your name. We give you honor and glory. In Jesus' name.
Well, good morning. We have a mission team that's in Ghana, West Africa right now. There's 12 of them from our church body that went over. They left on Monday morning, and they're returning this Wednesday night later. And they've been involved in ministry this whole week, in praying for salvation and healing and deliverance. And they are working with Pastor Samuel Guacapom and his wife, Mama Vera. And we have partnered with them and their church, Life Christian Center, since 1999. So a long-term partnership. And the team has been able to minister in different places. They've gone to Abansu, which is a village where we were helping establish a church there back in 1999. So they've been able to minister there. They've ministered around Amasaman, where Pastor Samuel's house and the main church is. And then they've also been involved in a new church plant in a place called Naswam. And they've been ministering there, especially towards the end of this week. And they had their first church service there this morning. And they had a wonderful time of ministry. And we got a report that they were praying for the baptism of the Holy Spirit for those who were there. And as they did it, right as they started praying, it started raining, which is a sign of God's favor and blessing in Ghana. And then there's also a picture that you'll see. When they were done with the church service, they looked up in the sky and they saw something really special. So we'll get to that picture. But here's some of the team as they're ministering and sharing. So we want to keep them in our prayers, and they've been having a wonderful trip. So we're so happy to be in connection and moving with the Lord and everything that He's doing there in Ghana. So beautiful team. And beautiful partners. Pastor Dan is there in the middle in the white shirt. And he is, Pastor Dan and Mama Helen have been our long-term partners. Okay, all right, and here's what they saw up in the sky as they were leaving the church building. It's a rainbow around the sun. So they took a picture of it and are just enjoying God's supernatural presence there in Ghana. So. Yes, there's a video. They're coming home late on Wednesday, so you guys can all pray them home, and we'll be excited to see them when they return.
The moment he took those sins on himself, he was separated from God. This intimate relationship that he knew deeply, he had to sacrifice that so that each one of us, because of his rich mercies, could be made alive.
Jesus is the same that's here tonight and wants to touch each one of you. Tonight is a night to believe. Even if you haven't seen it in the past, we are standing on it now. That Jesus will touch you.
Mountain wings like eagles and soar. When I call on Jesus, mountains are gonna fall. It's Him who's heaven and earth to come rescue you when you're gone.
First time one of the team members prayed.
And the second team member prayed. And the third team member prayed.
And the fourth team member prayed. He was able to identify objects in front of him.
So we know about the very person who died to pay for that sin. We know about him. But still, we are stuck in the sin that he died
for you, who loves you.
You know, when we give our lives to Jesus, you know what He promises you?
Yes, He takes the sin away. Yes, He will bring us to heaven. But He says from that point forward, He will never leave you.
And we are going to check this for you all so that we don't have to go through this each Tuesday and Sunday, but thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. This is really, really exciting. I love it, seeing these guys share and do all these things. The youth, the ones who are there, the young ones, they are going to, hopefully we'll have a little one-minute clip by the time Pastor Bill is finished preaching today. But if we don't, you can see that when they come back, because they're all on the microphone, or some of them, I should say. I don't know if all of them are. But things are happening over there, and we're very excited about that. And we're believing that God is doing a great and mighty work here and also abroad. And these are great pictures. Keep praying for them. I don't know what these next few days hold for them, but they'll be home, as Rachel said, really late. So it's not a long trip. It's a short trip. They were just up here last Sunday. But it's very impacting. So praise God for that. And the people in Ghana are very, very excited. So we're trusting that this seed is really going to bring a lot of fruit. And good things are coming for the future as well. I have some things I asked Tiana to put up. I just saw this and sent it out to a few. But I wanted to just make mention that when we're together in unity, I don't know if you have that, T. If when we're together in unity, that it's very important for us to connect, interconnect with one another outside of this building. And I just thought it was helpful to remind us, because sometimes we say, oh, we'll have to get together, and then a year goes by. And so I just encourage each one of us we do ministry together, and that's great, but it's also great to be able to connect with one another in other venues. People that normally you say, oh my gosh, I've known them for 20 years or 15 years or whatever, and connect with people, because there's a lot of power in that unity. So do you have that, T? Is it not coming up? We're having technical troubles today. And then if they can show also, I sent out a John Bevere video, and that was sent out at the beginning of the week. And it's a secret weapon so that we don't fall into complacency or becoming overwhelmed with circumstances in our life. And it's about the fear of the Lord. It's a John Bevere video. And we have some things that we're thinking about and praying about for this fall. And we'll get back to you on that. And we're also going to be offering Glory School, which was mentioned last week, I believe, as well. And so there are a lot of things in the pipeline here, at least talking about, praying about, to see what God's going to do for us and with us, and how that's going to spread to our community. Because there are a lot of things happening in our region, and we want to be part of everything that God has for us. So if we can get that up, nothing's working. Well, you can all... I sent Tiana two things. I texted them, so whatever's there. If you can't get it, we're going to release the young adults, the teens, to their class. It's a small one, but Mike McCray is going to be leading that. And then we're also going to release the kids to Kingdom Land in just a minute. And we'll show this afterwards if you don't have it. We do have it? Okay. Woo, we're getting there. This is very exciting what God's doing. There's a lot of stuff going on this summer. All of us are busy people, and we're all involved in a myriad of things. But we want to stop and breathe and stay really, really close to the Lord, and also with each other. Get to know some of the people you don't know. It's very easy to just hang with people that you're comfortable with from years and years ago or 20 mission trips ago and things like that, which is all good. But widen the circle a little bit. It's really helpful, and we're going to see people. This is what I saw on Facebook. Adult friendship is always saying, hey, we need to hang out. Then suddenly a year goes by. And that just kind of hit me, going, oh my gosh, that is so true. And I've been in contact with a lot of people from my past and people currently in my life, and trying to take those steps as well. So I just offer that to you, to be thinking outside of what you typically do and see what you can do to spread the wealth, so to speak. Do we have that other video clip or that picture you can show? Is it there? Forget it if you don't have it. I sent two things to Tiana, and those are the two things that I wanted to show. Just show it up there. It's not the sun. It's the John Bevere clip that was sent out, was texted. We'll just leave it at that. So everyone's dismissed to go to their areas, and Pastor Bill has a message.
Exciting to see the next generation being trained up. Father, we thank you, Lord. We are your tithe to the nations. We are your representatives to the streets. We thank you, Lord. You're using us in this season, working in us, speaking to us, dreams, visions, pictures to guide us. Still small voice of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. We need it all. Father, thank you for people that we've been meeting recently, Jesus, that you've connected us with. We've seen reconciliation take place. We've seen people of the same heart facing the last days, complete strangers, but knowing about demonic strongholds and generational curses, Father, you're revealing this to the body of Christ far beyond a certain stream. Thank you for that, God. Thank you for your revelation on the earth right at the time we need it the most. Thank you for your intimacy offered to us when we need it the most in the last days here, Father. Just within the last 10 days, events have taken place, Lord, that we need to look to you for wisdom, peace, guidance, power, anointing. God, we see the events starting to gel towards the end times. And Lord, we need all of your truth. We need to walk in your truth. We need to walk in the Spirit, not leave you, Holy Spirit, behind for a minute or two or an hour or a day or a week or a month or a year. We need to be walking in your Spirit, in your guidance, in your wisdom in these last days. Thank you, Father, for this team. We pray for their safety, protection, no sickness, no disease, nothing that comes against them emotionally, God, as they've had these triumphs over the enemy and kicked him in the teeth in Africa, God. He kicks back. We pray, God, you would prevent them from being hit. Yes, Lord. Protect them. Have their last few days, Father, be so fruitful, so incredibly fruitful. And Lord, that church plant will be established in Naswam. Yes, God. And they will be able to look back years from now and say, wow, look at that. What has happened with that church? We were part of that. You used us, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing in each individual team member's life. Some real breakthroughs, turnarounds, God. Eyes to see the harvest that is white. Thank you, Lord. We need your eyes, not just ours, to see that the harvest is white and to go after the harvest, to listen to the Holy Spirit, not to just try to have good times until the bad times really kick in. But God, that we would be about your business. We would be about your gospel. Thank you that this team is sold out. A tithe from this fellowship to the nations, and you are blessing it. You are favoring each person. You favored their trip, God. Hundreds of flights canceled. Their flights went through on time. One bag was lost and then was found. Thank you, God. You've restored everything to them. Ziklag. You've restored everything, even the picture of the lost being found. Yes, Lord, that's what they've been about in Ghana, West Africa, God. Thank you, God. Strengthen Pastor Samuel, Mama Vera, Pastor Dan, Mama Helen, God, as they are involved with the team, God, and David, Father, the young man helping them as well. We bless his recent engagement. And God, they were able to celebrate that, Lord. Thank you, Father. We give you all glory for what you are doing. And we want to be right in the center of your will, doing it with you, God. Yes, Lord, we want to hear your voice. We are your sheep, and we can hear your voice. Let us hear it, your voice today as we share on this topic of hilarious giving once again. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Last time, I think I talked about the fact that giving, we start getting a little nervous when the body of Christ starts talking about giving. When you get down to tithing, people get very nervous because, have I been doing that? If we can say yes, that's very, you know, assuring that we're on the right page with God and so on. If we've struggled with it, then it's very convicting right away. Because it's not something that's just murky, is it? We know whether we've given God his tithe or not. Whether we've given beyond the tithe and offerings, it's just so clear when it comes to finances. And as I prefaced the message last time about hilarious giving, this isn't so that we can tell you, oh, you know, you need to give more money to Frontline. This is about your relationship with God. Because giving has so much to do with your relationship with God. I can tell you over the decades that I've been a believer, early on, you know, before I was even a Christian, I knew about tithing. And I would watch my mom put the dollar or $5 in the plate and thought, that's not jiving with what they say from the front. But I was a kid, and I just thought, okay, maybe there's some reason, or maybe there's some reason this doesn't seem to fit. But it kind of bothered me. And she'd often give it to me or my brother to put it in the plate. And I was like, okay, I wonder why she doesn't just want. Apparently she wanted us to learn how to give. But if she's not really giving according to what God says, very confusing as a young person. So children are watching. Even older children are watching what we do with our finances, right? And if we don't include God in those finances, if he's not part of our financial system, if he's not the owner of the bank, so to speak, then they see that. And they probably will follow in that. So my mom wanted me to be a giver to God, but she wasn't necessarily, at least on the financial topic, she wasn't necessarily showing me the way. But fortunately, a lot of teachers and people were willing to speak on this topic. And so I knew about the tithe. I didn't know the ins and outs. I just knew 10% and so on. Later on, as you go along, you realize, oh, the tithe was even before the law. Abraham tithed before there was a law. It was something in God's heart. It's something about us to give back in a very tangible way, in a very specific way, and then go beyond that before God. It's really something that pleases him greatly to do that. And so he started it before the law was even instituted, with Abraham wanting to give the tithe back to God. So where should this all really start? How can this be easy for us? How can this be joyful? You know, we're supposed to be cheerful givers, right? Not like, oh boy, that's really hard to get out of the wallet or the purse to give to God. We're supposed to be cheerful. And it's like one of those high bars maybe that we think of in the Christian life. And so some of us may say, well, I can't reach the other high bars. Why should I go for this one? Well, there are tremendous benefits with hitting the other high bars in the Christian life, grace, mercy, love, if we can do the practical one. If we're tithing to God, if we're giving to God what he asks for, he blesses a lot of our growth in other areas. I call it collateral blessing. We're giving, but it affects our spiritual growth in so many ways. When people struggle with it, they often struggle with other things in the Christian life. When they're hilarious givers, somehow it transfers over into growth in a person's life. So where does this all start? Well, I would say last Sunday when we were doing the baptisms, it starts with some of those verses that were shared then. For instance, if you'll turn with me to Luke 9:23. I say turn, and I know some of you, scroll. That's okay. Luke 9:23. This was shared, at least one of the passages that gives us. I don't know if it was a Luke passage or a Matthew passage or Mark passage. It's in three Gospels. Verse 23, and he was saying to them all, if anyone wants to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, this is the one who will save it. For what good does it do a person if he gains the whole world, but loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me, in my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and the holy angels. So it starts with giving our life away, right? And if we've not given our life fully to Jesus, let's say we've prayed the prayer. Someone prayed the prayer with us, or we prayed the prayer to receive Jesus, give him our whole life. But we hold some of it back. And let's say it's in this area of giving. Then we haven't really given him our whole life, right? We aren't doing what God expects or wants. What if we've given our lives to Christ and we aren't willing to share the gospel with people? Well, they'll kind of think I'm weird. Back in the day, we used to say, they'll think I'm a Jesus freak. That's the best thing you can be. A freak for Jesus. Crazy for Jesus. Be known as someone that speaks up for Jesus. That's a good thing to be. You want to look like you're different than other people, because they are headed to an eternity without God. And you have to make a difference. If you have anyone in the sphere of your influence, they should know you are a believer in Jesus. The people you work with, the friends you have, children of parents that might know you, but you don't know the parents. Do you speak of them about Jesus? Do you give your whole life to Jesus? Or is it just on paper? Oh yeah, I made that commitment. And I got baptized, but wow, speaking up for Jesus. It says, for whoever wants to save his life will lose it. That's part of saving our life, right? If we don't speak up for him, if we don't have a giving that we are consistently doing with him. Here's my life, now here's my finances with it. And we put all the things up here a few weeks ago, the house, the deed to the house, the investments, all that. It's all God's. And then he touches the things he wants to use out of those things. And he definitely wants to use our income to bless the kingdom. How do we reach all these nations practically? People say, well, how can a small body go to all these places, all these trips over the years? How are they paid for? How is this land and building paid for? Because it's paid. We don't owe a cent. How is that done? It's givers, right? It's God touching the heart of givers, and they've given. So this isn't to, in the past few weeks since I gave this message before, it's been incredible what's been accomplished. We've launched a team to Ghana. People in this body have been helped by generous people within this body in a very specific way. It's been incredible over the last 2 or 3 weeks, whatever it was when I spoke before, what has happened financially. So I'm not speaking to you saying, okay, now come on, listen to the first message, listen to the second one. This is just something we need to know about and be on course with Jesus. It blesses your life. So when I speak to you about giving, I'm talking about something that's going to bless you. And that's why we bring it up. And it's just funny that the last 3 weeks, maybe it's been, have been just incredible with the giving. And it's not because of that message. I can tell you that. I don't think it was. It was just you stepping in to what God has for you, and you saw a need, and you gave towards it. The team was launched. We didn't have a whole lot of money to launch the team, I'll just be honest. And all of a sudden it came in. And that's what it's been so often. Why? God supports this. He gives. How many have heard you can never outgive God? That's not supposed to be used from the front as something to force you to give. It's just supposed to be a truth that you take into your heart. And that's the way God is. He loves to outgive us. He loves to bless our lives far more than we bless him. You don't give to bless, get blessed, right? That shouldn't be our motivation. But he does it anyway. He blesses us anyway. So amazing. So the first thing is you give your whole life, then any giving you give back to God is just part of that. It's not like a special category. Oh, well, the church wants me. It's not about the church. Oh, well, that ministry, you know, frontline, going to the nations, they're kind of making me get. Nope, can't use that. Nope. It's God. He wants us to give. And then what is accomplished in the nations is because he multiplies it. Do you know what we give here? If it wasn't multiplied, we'd never get to the nations. We'd never get to the streets. Because you also have to give your life with the gifts. Some people give and they say, oh, I can't go. I can't stand an airplane ride. I can't go, but I'll give. You should say, I will go with your strength over any fears or phobias I have, whether it be to the streets or to the nations. I will go because you will conquer those fears. You will conquer those phobias. Years ago, I remember a call for missions at one of the conferences we were at. Pickleball master, and fun master, and magnet fishing master. We had some fun this week with their parents out of town, some of them. Years ago, I was at a conference, and they called people to the front for missions. Come, come, come and show that you want to go on missions. I may have said this before. If I'm repeating this, just nod your head like, okay, this is the first time I'm hearing it. And they came to the front, and they literally, nice big group at the front to go to missions. And then I think they released them back to the seats. And it was either another speaker or the same speaker suddenly realized, whoa, What if they have the fear of flying? How many nations can you go to if you have the fear of flying and you can't get on the plane? So they made a call. Who has the fear of flying of the people that came forward? And a huge group came, not as big as the group they had up there for missions, but quite a few. I was amazed at how many people came forward because they had the fear of flying. How were they going to get to the nations if they had the fear of flying and it overtook their desire to go to the nations? And it could be anything, right? It could be the fear of evangelism, fear of speaking up, that would short-circuit your desire to go to the nations. Well, giving can be like that. I don't know how I'd raise the money to go to the nations, a person might say. They might have a desire, but I just don't know how I would raise the money. They've never seen God come in and take care of a need that wasn't in their wallet. They've never seen God come in beyond their paycheck. Do you know if you give, that's when you start seeing a lot of that happening. Give your life, give your finances, you start seeing miracles happen in finances beyond your paycheck, beyond what comes in. Some people kind of think, well, this is the job I have and that's it. You know, what can God do to meet my needs? He's Jehovah Jireh. He can do anything. He can touch people's hearts to meet those needs. He can do anything. I remember wanting to go to a conference when I was in college, didn't have the money. I found $20 in a bush. Literally. Right at the... People were coming out of this door from the dorm all the time. They didn't see this $20 bill in the bush. I saw it. And I thought, how do I get it back to the person that owns it? That was my first thought. Kind of hard when it's sitting there in a bush. So I took it and used it to go to the conference where I could learn about Jesus. So money does grow on trees when God wants it to. I was a garbage man at an early portion of my life, and I found money in the trash, feeding the guinea pigs. Can receive money. I remember my father feeding the guinea pigs and wondering where the money was that he had in his hand for the business that he had. He couldn't think of it. Where would it have gone? Well, he had it in his hand, and he put lettuce in his hand from the refrigerator to feed the guinea pigs, and the guinea pigs were feasting on $20 bills. So even guinea pigs can receive money. God can do anything. He can take the money out of a fish's mouth and pay a tax. I think we should kind of look for that a little more often. Him to pay our taxes out of supernatural events. I see some shaking of the heads on that one. Okay, I'm on the right track here. I want to compare three people, as I mentioned last time, that you know very well. Rich young ruler, Luke 18. Let's go there. I have too many notes to put in one message today, so I'm going to try to stay on track. Luke 18, verse 18. Rich young ruler. A ruler questioned him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" But Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony, honor your father and mother." Those are part of the Ten Commandments. And he said, "All these things I have kept since my youth." Now when Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you possess and distribute the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." See, he is saying the same thing that we read earlier. Give your whole life. Everything should be on the altar. All that you have, all that you are, come follow me. Put what you have on the altar, and I'll touch those things that I want for my kingdom, to use for my kingdom. And that's the Christian life. But your life has to be given first. All of you. That's the most challenging part. The giving after that falls in place. But when he had heard these things, he became very sad, for he was extremely wealthy. And Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for those who are wealthy to enter the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of God." Those who heard him said, "And so who can be saved?" But he said, "The things that are impossible with people are possible with God." See, the disciples, he was teaching them as much as the rich young ruler, because they thought rich people were absolutely blessed by God. So you look up to rich people because God is blessing them. How many know that that's not exactly the way it works? There can be rich people that just gained their own riches and they wouldn't let God touch it. That has nothing to do with the blessing of God. And so it was with this rich young ruler. He thought, if I'm a goody two-shoes and I keep some of these commandments since I was young, I'll be accepted anywhere as a rich person and I can hang on to the riches for myself. Jesus went right to the heart of the issue. It's not how good you've been, it's what you've missed. That's what he does with us, right? It's not how faithful you've been. How about let's look at these things where you haven't been faithful and let me turn that around in your life. Let me empower you to see those things changed in your life. And he'll often point to something that's a blind spot, right? Something we don't easily see, the Holy Spirit will point to. He will point to blind spots. And as we know, we can resist him. We can grieve him. We can quench him, the Holy Spirit. We don't have to listen. And maybe for a while we've done that. And then finally, he gets through to us and says, "Are you going to follow me fully or not? Because you are holding on to a closet in your house and you won't let me have the key to that closet. You've locked the closet. Let me in there. Let me clean it out. Let me show you how you can fully follow me. You said you gave your whole life. Let me into the closet." So with the rich young ruler, I would say it was more like a living room. It wasn't a closet. It was obvious. He was rich. He was trying to show himself as good before God. What minor little thing should I add to receive eternal life? Good teacher. He knew how to talk smoothly to leaders. Well-versed, he wasn't a rough billionaire like some we may know. Smooth talker. "I've done these things. What small thing should I add?" And Jesus goes right to his heart and says, "How about your riches? Put them fully on the altar. Give them all. And then come follow me. That will show that you're all in." And he couldn't do it. And so Jesus then is teaching the disciples. It's hard when a person is rich to enter the kingdom of God. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. And what he was teaching them was riches do not equal good standing with God. They're supposed to be laid on the altar, and the whole life given to God. and come follow me. Once some of the disciples received that, they were like, well, we've left everything. That's right. That's what everyone should do. Leave everything in the sense of not attaching yourself to it and making it your own little kingdom, giving it to God for his use. So our cars are for his use. Driving to things that have to do with the kingdom of God, taking people to things that have to do with the kingdom of God. Our homes are for use, to have people in and speak to them about Jesus, have them over, be hospitable, use those things he's given us to bless the kingdom of God, not just ourselves and our family, but beyond that. And he's going to, in this season, I think I said before, 3 weeks ago, he's going to, in this season, show you how you can use those things that you already have to bless God. Well, if I had a little more, then I would do this for God. Leave that out. What do you have now, and how can you bless the kingdom of God with what you have right now? It doesn't mean you have to have 60 young people over like we had back in the day over at our house. 40, 60. Okay. Bunch, depending on the week. The miracle of that to me was that young people could remember which week it was when it was only twice a month, every 2 weeks, that they came on the right Saturday night. That was a miracle. I can't keep things straight like that. And we didn't have cell phones back then. Move of God. Good way to say it. So the rich young ruler needed a move of God, and he resisted it. He was sad that he would have to trust Jesus with his money. And you've heard me say before, I think Jesus would have, as soon as he said, this is all yours, Jesus. Here it is. If you remember, the disciples, they didn't physically give Jesus their houses or their, you know, bring their bags of money to Jesus. I believe he would have given it back to the rich young ruler and said, now you're qualified to steward it. You are able to steward this for the kingdom of God. You are able to use this for your own needs, your family's needs, and so on. And I know when I touch it now, you will release it. And that's what he does with us. He's so gracious that way. He's not greedy. The church shouldn't be greedy, wanting every dime that you have. But the dimes that the Holy Spirit touches, that's what you should give towards God, with a heart towards giving towards God. So let's contrast the rich young ruler with Zacchaeus. Next chapter, Luke 19, nice and handy. Starting in verse 1, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man called by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich, another rich man. Zacchaeus was trying to see who Jesus was. And he was unable due to the crowd because he was short in stature. I love this guy. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree in order to see him because he was about to pass through that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for today I must stay at your house. I think he said it rather loudly. He was in a crowd. There was a lot of commotion. We forget there was a lot of noise around Jesus. And he wanted Zacchaeus to know, I'm pointing you out. He probably looked right at him and pointed to him. I'm coming to your house today. Can you imagine the crowd? They know how this guy got his money. Sure, he climbed up a tree to see Jesus. He was doing what the rest of the crowd was doing, trying to get close to Jesus. But they immediately judged his heart. Oh, that's the tax collector. Why is he going to his house? Why doesn't he come to my house? Often, Jesus goes to the houses of the ones we don't think he would go to show us how much his grace and mercy applies to every person. So he goes to Zacchaeus' house, not the people jostling him around in the crowd that they would have loved if he would have blessed their house to come. I've been in houses where people were saying they were blessed that we showed up as pastors. And I'm like, okay, that's kind of fun. But think to have Jesus come into the house. He's going to have a meal with you personally inside your house. Think of your dining room table. And he invited himself. He didn't wait for your invitation. Zacchaeus didn't say anything to Jesus. He pointed to Zacchaeus, the world-renowned tax collector that got his money illegally. You know the system. He worked for the Romans, their oppressors, to get taxes. And the Romans allowed them to get the tax that was due to the Romans and then add anything onto it that you wanted for yourself. Think how hated he was. And yet, Jesus, I'm coming to your house today. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him because he was about to pass through that way. And Jesus came to the place. He looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry, come down, for today I must stay at your house. And he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. When the people saw this, they all began to complain, saying, he has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. He did the same with former prostitutes. Jesus went to the ones that were the least qualified to show us that he'll come to us. They were watching Jesus with their eyeballs. We have to watch Jesus in the spirit. He wanted us to know he'll come to us no matter what our background is. But Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, behold, Lord, half of my possessions I am giving to the poor, and if I have extorted anything from anyone, I am giving back four times as much. Now, if you took from someone in the Old Testament, there were rules of how much you give back. He exceeded those. This was exceedingly abundantly above what he would be asked to do according to the law. What's this called? Hilarious giving. Now, when he was giving to those people that he had taken money from, illegally, in a sense, illegally according to morality, not according to the Romans, which is a higher standard, right? He was pleasing God. It was part of his salvation because Jesus says, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Yes, that verse is at the end of it. Zacchaeus was obviously lost. He had built his little kingdom on financial gain. And in one encounter with Jesus, he received salvation and he was lost and became found because the Son of Man, the Son of God, came to eat a meal with him and he had an encounter with Jesus. This is the most efficient gospel message you could ever imagine. I'm going to eat dinner at your house. I'm going to enter your house. That's it. There's no more red words there. Where they had a conversation. Oh, do you know about the four spiritual laws, the bridge of life, bridge to life? All right, let me talk to you about what I'm going to do for you on the cross. I'm going to die. I'm going to resurrect from the dead. I'm going to be around 40 days and then ascend into heaven and send the Holy Spirit. Zacchaeus didn't hear about all that. He had an encounter with the living God, close and personal, that Jesus knew by his actions financially that he had been saved. Can he say that about us? You know, that we're giving to Jesus? We're taking care of what God wants from us in giving? And he can say, oh, you're truly saved. You're truly saved. Or do we kind of cringe when we talk about this subject or start accusing? Oh, all they want's my money. Church, that's all it's about. Why ain't their money? Want your money. Want your money. It goes right to the heart of things, doesn't it? When it has to do with finances. Zacchaeus got it. Rich young ruler didn't. He didn't trust Jesus. That was the bottom line. Yes, he loved money. But he didn't trust Jesus. Zacchaeus fully trusts Jesus. And he didn't even start the conversation. He just had that hungry heart, that seeking heart, as a very sinful person that the people would say, you're a sinful person. You're sinful. Why is he hanging out with you? Because he was going to open his heart, and Jesus knew it. This is an efficient gospel. Just go eat. Jesus, go eat a meal with someone, and bam, they're saved because of an encounter with him where they show their heart. Incredible. One more person. The widow, Luke 21. Just move a couple chapters. We brought in that widow's mite last time. Very small little coin, copper coin. And this is verse 1. Now he looked up and saw the wealthy putting their gifts into the temple treasury. And he saw a poor widow putting in 2 lepta coins. And he said, truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all of them. For they all contributed to the offering from their surplus. But she, from her poverty, put in all she had to live on. And while some were talking about the temple, oh, sorry, that moves on to another section. I thought I'd not read up through verse 4. Put in all that she had to live on. So giving out of your surplus and big gifts to God, he's not impressed. Giving from the heart, he's impressed with. Did it have to be all that she had for him to be impressed? I don't think so. But he was making such a contrast because you know how the Pharisees were and many people that followed them. They would make sure everyone saw what they were giving. They probably would, you know, bring the big bag and put it in the treasury. Where this widow is, how can they see 2 little coins and know what's going on in her finances? No one's going to pay any attention to her, and she's not going to be showy. But Jesus saw her and saw her heart. That she was willing to give her last 2 mites, her last 2 coins. There's so many titles for these 2 coins, you would think that they're very important. Farthings, quandrons, mites, leptas. For these 2 copper coins, you would think they were very important. But they were very little money, but very big heart. So he's looking for our heart, not necessarily that we have lots of finances to give to God. In fact, it's hard either way, right? When you don't have any finances, you're saying, God, if I give this, how am I going to fill in that hole I know is coming this week? That bill that I know is due on the 15th, how am I going to meet that? That's just 4 days away if I give this to you. That person's in that situation. They have to trust God. They have to believe God. If he's pointing to that and saying, that's to be given. And the person on the other extreme of things, when they have lots of money, they have a struggle with, wow, how much, God, and to what causes? I can do more than the tithe, and to what causes should I give it to? Both are challenged. The person without any money, they might say, gosh, I can't tithe this 10%. I can barely get along on 100%. Well, as you would imagine, I'm going to say that you can abase and abound, but you won't be penniless because you give to God the tithe. He's going to meet your needs. You may be stretched. You may be challenged to trust him, but he has more than your paycheck to meet your needs when he can multiply food, when he can have bills be less than what you thought, when he can move things around in your finances or you find money where you didn't think you had it. So many different things that he can do. He can add to you without you doing a thing. It's an issue of trusting God. And the person with lots of money, they have to make all those decisions, but the Holy Spirit will help them with that. That's what he does. And they'll be wise in the way they give. And they won't be showy because they have lots. That's just the way he is. He wants to work in both people's, both situations. So the rich young ruler, he was rich. He wouldn't trust God. Zacchaeus, rich. He trusted God out of one encounter. One encounter with Jesus and his whole giving plan got blown out of the water. He went from giving nothing to God and keeping everything for himself and even stealing from the people that they knew he was a sinful man. He went from that to absolutely saved and an example of Jesus seeking the lost and finding one. And that's what he came to do. And then the widow, probably the ultimate, she has nothing and she gives out of nothing. She wasn't the only widow that did that in the Bible. There was one in the Old Testament that gave her last morsels to a prophet. And it turned out pretty well for her too. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, we put this at the top of the hilarious giving sheet that we pass out every month. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 and 7. Now I say this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows generously will also reap generously. Each one must do just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver or a hilarious giver, hilaros, one that's cheerful in his giving. Each one must do just as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Now, the compulsion also comes from the front, right? Trying to compel you to give because then you'll be prosperous. If you give to the church or you give to God, you'll be prosperous, prosperous, prosperous. I would rather have Jesus give that message to you. That if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. You sow generously, you'll reap generously. And it's not all necessarily tied to finances, is it? You want your kids to be right. You want your family to be right. You want your own life to be right. You have to solve this giving issue with God. Not with Pastor Bill, Pastor Mary Pat, Frontline Ministries. You have to solve the giving thing with God individually. And those that give generously, their lives will be blessed. And there's a possibility your finances will be blessed. More than likely, somehow, some way, he's going to outgive in your finances. But the prosperity I like to talk about is for your whole life, not about your bank account. Your life will be prosperous if you give to God. And out of your finances, give to God. It's giving time. Many of you give hours and hours and hours to the kingdom of God. You give attention to God during the day. You don't just go through your whole day and at the end of the day say, oh, forgot to talk to you today, God. Shoot, I was going to do that. You don't get to the end of your day and say, oh, I should have involved you in my life today. God pays attention to that giving as much as he does the financial giving. Are you giving your whole heart moment by moment, day by day, having an ongoing conversation with Holy Spirit? That's extremely important for giving. People have given, I don't know how many gallons of gas to Frontline. Gallon after gallon after gallon of gas. Now, I've never seen it. It's not sitting out here in a tank. You drive around and you don't even think about the fact that you've driven 20, 40, 60 miles in order to do some kind of thing for Frontline, some kind of thing for God. God sees it. He sees you're spending some of that money for him. It's not part of your tithing. It's part of you just giving to God because you want to serve him. You want to love on him. He sees that and rewards that. We don't mind saying it. He rewards giving. He just does. Now, how he does it for a specific person, he's unique to that person. He didn't reward Nicodemus like he would reward the widow, like he would have rewarded the rich young ruler if he had stepped into trusting him. He works with us individually. That should be so exciting. And if you see someone that has some extra coins to rub together in this fellowship, you shouldn't sit there and be in envy of them. Because they may be struggling in some areas that you need to pray for them. That they get blessed by God in those areas. That those areas are turned around because of their generosity towards God. Not just because, like the disciples, we look at them and say, well, they have a lot to give. It can't be hard for them to give. Sure it is. The rich young ruler was very hard for him to give. And he had all kinds of money to give away. But when he's challenged to give it all, too much. But we're all challenged to give it all. And then he gives it to us to steward. Each one must do as he has decided in his heart. It's an intentional thing, right? And that may be part of the difficulty because we can put off many decisions for God. Well, I always wanted to go to the mission field. We may put it off for years before it actually happens. I always wanted to minister to someone downtown. We may put that off for a while. God will work with us. He'll help us. He'll put people right in front of us that are from the streets. And we aren't even on the streets of Canton. You know, he'll work with us. But these financial decisions are often immediate. It's like the box is back there. It's looking at you every week. And you know that you should be tithing. And of course, there's the practical thing. Are you tithing before the tax of the government? Or are you tithing on what's left over? Have you ever considered that? We tithe on what we receive before the government gets their share. And believe me, they're taking out more than 10%. So you tithe on the gross, not the net. And some people, wow, I never thought of that. Oh, no. Oh, no. He will work with us. He works with us. He helps us with this. Well, what about all that money? I haven't tithed. You start. You just start, and he works with you. He wants your life. He doesn't really need your money, but he knows it's good for us. He knows it's good for us to give. It's better to give than, but you're going to get a lot of receiving in the giving. Lots. We could have people come up and give testimony about that. And it would take up more than a service. He's so good to us. So, of course, we must go to the Old Testament and give this very, 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 very challenging, very challenging passage in the Old Testament to finish up. And it's Malachi 3, 8 through 12. Remember, as I speak this out on this whole topic of hilarious giving, I've been challenged in hilarious giving. It is something that the leaders should be thinking, how can we hilariously give to the nations? For us personally as pastors, how should we lead the people in our giving? Not be behind because we receive so much. We have to lead the way. I take that seriously. Mary Pat takes that seriously. So here's, if you want a challenging passage, here is one. Malachi 3, verse 8. Would anyone rob God? Yet you are robbing me, he says to the people of Israel. But you say, how have we robbed you? Answer, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you are robbing me, the entire nation of you, a whole nation, robbing God of his due. And he's not just talking about the tithes and offerings, he's talking about the heart behind it. If you're robbing him of tithes and offerings, it's a heart issue, not a financial issue. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. And put me to the test now in this, says the Lord of armies. The Lord of armies. If I do not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you a blessing until it overflows, then I will rebuke the devourer for you so that it will not destroy the fruit of your ground. Nor will the vine in the field prove fruitless to you, says the Lord of armies. All the nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of armies. The Lord of armies. A little extra emphasis there that he's speaking strongly about this. He wants to open up the windows of heaven, but he can't unless we're hilarious giving and not robbers of what our relationship is with God. If we rob him of our lives being fully given to him, he's not pleased with that, and it results in a struggle with tithes and offerings. And as we've said before, well, I think tithes is an Old Testament type of thing. I think we talked about Matthew 23, 23 and 24, where Jesus, by implication, still backed the tithe. But okay, let's just say it's an Old Testament thing. Then the New Testament, is its standard is hilariously give. And that's way above what the tithe would be. But either way, he wants us to bring that into the storehouse. Why? He can't wait to open up the windows of heaven for us. And that, again, that's not just financial. What we do in ministry, he wants us to have pure hearts before him and not be holding back something. Remember in Acts 5 with Ananias and Sapphira, right after they see that people are bringing sometimes a whole piece of land, like Barnabas, he brought a whole piece of land and laid it at the apostles' feet, the proceeds from that land of selling it. So in Acts 5, they thought, well, we'll just fudge a little. We'll bring the money, part of it, keep some of it, and act like we gave everything. And it was at a very early point in the church. How many know what happened to Ananias and Sapphira? Pretty serious business. They died in the presence of the apostles because they lied to the Holy Spirit about finances. Whew, boy, you know, that's serious business. We live under a huge cloud of grace, but God is still serious. He had already released the Holy Spirit when that happened. He's very serious about people lying to the Holy Spirit and robbing him and so on. But again, it's a personal heart issue with each one of us, isn't it? It's not supposed to be me taking my finger and waving at you. I would have to wave at me. There's things he wants to speak to us about individually for our finances, how our lives are going in conjunction with that. People that have a hard time giving to God have a hard time receiving from God the blessings that he wants to impart to us because we're hilarious givers. They don't even see the things that could be blessings for them. They don't see the path, the job that he was going to give to you because you were so hilariously giving to him. Suddenly you have a different job. How did that happen? A job of influence, a job of, you know, helping good to happen. Maybe not just doing a normal old pay the bills job. It all is incorporated into the giving. How many hear my heart on it? Okay, it's not about, okay, now fill that box up after this message. It's about you receiving all that he has for you, and you'll miss it if you're not a hilarious giver. You'll miss some things. And it's in areas that are offshoot areas from the area of financial giving. How many hear that? That is absolute truth. That's part of the prosperity that the, you know, church leaves out in many messages across America. They're talking about, well, if you give, you're going to financially prosper. That's the least of what you want. Really, you want your family to follow Jesus. You want you to be in the proper job, the proper relationship. It has to do with us giving our whole life, and this is an area of it that we can easily straighten out because it's so easy to see it. Did I tithe to God? Did I give beyond the tithe and offer more than just my tithe to God? That's an easy one to see. I don't always know if I'm giving him my whole life, do you? That's much harder to quantify or to put a percentage on. Am I giving 60%, 80%, 99%, 100%? I'm always on my way towards giving more, I would hope, of my whole life, but it's awfully hard to quantify. But with finances, it's easy, isn't it? We can kind of say, I gave him the tithe. I gave him an offering on top of it. I support other ministries other than Frontline. I encourage you to do that. Not just support this ministry. I support ministries other than Frontline. I want to sow into the body of Christ, not just Frontline. And it's a good thing because you hear from those ministries, wow, you know, this is happening. This is going on. And you're excited because you're part of that. How many hear my heart today? How many think this is an easy message to give? I put my hand out. But it's necessary, because the end all for me is that you are blessed in every area of your life, and this feeds into that. It's not the only thing that feeds into it. You must give your whole life to Jesus, just like they're preaching in Ghana this week. Give your whole life to him. Let him forgive your sins. He died for you on the cross. He raised from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sent you the Holy Spirit to live inside of you and baptize you with his presence. They're giving that message. That's the same message that this is about, really. Giving your whole life to him. And the finances are just part of it. They're his. They're not the rich young ruler's. They're not what Zacchaeus could rob from other people and then rob from God at the same time. Two out of the three were straightened out. I want to be one of the two of the examples we talked about today, right? Well, what about Jesus? Did he tithe? Did he give his whole life? He gave his whole life. How the tithing went, he was giving everywhere he went. Didn't have a place to live in. Sometimes used a rock as a pillow. The heat, just the heat there. We've been there. Wow. Can't believe these guys walked all these miles. They couldn't give gasoline, but they sure gave the soles of their feet. Thank you, Father, for your people. They are givers. And within these last 3 weeks, it's been proven. Now, God, adjust what you want to adjust in each of us. That we even more so give our whole lives to you. That's the real adjustment. Then the financial giving follows if we've given our whole life to you. Thank you, God. You're so gracious to us in this process. You don't immediately point out our inconsistencies and our hypocrisies in this area of hilarious giving by death, like you did with Ananias and Sapphira. But we can't lie to you. We can't rob you, Lord. That's the point of all of that. We must come before you and say, God, please forgive me. I'm not giving you my whole life, and these finances that I've held back for myself are just part of that. And Lord, when we have been giving and we have been faithful in that area, we can't take pride in it like those bringing the big haul into the temple. No. Have we given with the heart of the widow? That we would give you every last cent if we were called upon to do that, like the rich young ruler. And the widow was already doing it without being called upon. Jesus, we take example from these real people with real struggles. And God, we give our hearts to you. Go deeper in us. Show us where we don't please you, so that we can please you. Thank you, Father, for all you've given to us. Without an end, without a limit, we love you, Jehovah Jireh, for giving, 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 giving to us. We love you, Jesus, for giving all for us. You didn't have a problem with the tithe. Your tithe was your entire life given for us to pay for our sin, that we could be saved, because you came to seek and to save those that were lost. And we are part of that company, God, along with Zacchaeus. Thank you, Father, again for the team. Bless them, favor them in these last few days. God, we want to receive them back here safe and sound and with plenty of testimony. of how you've worked in their lives and through their lives to preach the gospel, save, heal, deliver, signs and wonders, God. We can't wait. And may we have testimonies for them as well of how you've worked in our midst while they've been gone. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. We love you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Tuesday night, Fire and Wind. It's looked a little slim at Fire and Wind. Come out. It's cooler in here than outside.
And one last announcement before we head out today. Just a reminder that we have our summer celebration. Are you excited? This year's theme is scuba, diving into friendship with God. So we're kicking that off on Wednesday evening, Thursday, and Friday. That's from 6:30 to 8:30. Doors open at 6. And that's for children starting at 3 years old through fifth grade. So we have registrations. Invite your friends, your neighbors, grandchildren, relatives, children all across Ohio that you know. So it's going to be a good time. We'll end it Friday night with the family Sunday bar, as we typically do. We've been doing it for years. It's always an amazing time. 3 days of just teaching children how to love the Lord and how to receive that love that he pours out. All right, so scuba, inviting your friends. Yes? All right, so it's going to be a good time. And again, we are going to be needing some help Tuesday night after Fire and Wind, rearranging some rooms and removing furniture, because we transform different spaces into, we're going to transform it into scuba land. So if you are able to stick around Tuesday night, we could use some help, as I said, removing furniture so we can prepare the rooms and make them ready for the children to arrive on Wednesday. All right, I believe that's all. Thank you so much. Have a great rest of your Sunday.